In this half hour of our program, a year in the life of an aspiring opera singer. She was picked for a very selective young artists program at the Washington National Opera, and over the course of the past year, she shared her experiences with me and with producer Julia Buckley. The first day we met was last summer, a hot Washington August day, a practice room in a warehouse that the opera uses just outside the city.
That's lovely, Maria.
There are two opera singers, a teacher and a student.
There you go.
The room is the size of a gym in a middle school, and still the rafters seem to rattle when the student, Maria Justa, sings. The practice room doesn't feel big enough to contain Maria's voice, and short of an opera house, it's hard to imagine a room that would. This is the story of 1 year in Maria Justa's effort to become as important to opera singing is to her. 1 year as a young artist in training at the Washington National Opera. Last August, Maria was having one of her regular acting lessons, this one taught by mezzo-soprano Lucy Schaefer.
I know it's frustrating, I know it is, but the risks you took physically to try and show vulnerability and openness and playing with beautiful sort of shapes here, that's what's interesting. We can sing it when we stand still, we can act it when we mark, but when we put it together, there are different little things that are going to crop up.
The teacher and the student are a striking contrast. Schaefer, who is about to make her own debut at the Metropolitan Opera, is petite and illustrates her directions with cat-like moves. Physically, Maria is even bigger than her voice, 5'10", over 300 pounds. Blonde and blue-eyed, she looks like someone out of a Norse myth, even in the blue T-shirt, jeans, and black Reeboks that she wears for class.
It's not just about the pretty long Mozart lines, which you do so beautifully. Now we need to get those emotions sorted out. I need you to show us how that's building up, and then it comes out in your face.
Okay,
same place, please, Nina.
Over several renditions of the aria, Maria adjusts to Lucy's direction. It seems almost unfair that people who can sing this well are obliged to display some dramatic talent to boot. But Maria accepts the demands of acting on the stage, along with those of singing in the recital hall.
I always think of performing on stage, well, I think of it as nudity of the soul. You know, if you're not prepared to walk on stage and let people see every bit of love and compassion and pain and hurt that you've ever had in your entire life, then you might as well not be there.
Maria Justa was born in 1974 in South Africa. She sang in church, but didn't think of her voice as the stuff of a career. She left South Africa for England, where she worked as a groom in a stable. Then came what she describes as her wake-up call. It was an illness.
I got very serious bronchitis and lost my voice for really approximately a month. Like, I couldn't even speak for that period of time, I had so many courses of antibiotics and nothing seemed to really help. And that scared me.
She wasn't singing for people in those days, just the horses in the stable.
I love horses. I grew up with horses. And I used to always sing while I was working. And all of a sudden it was gone and I couldn't sing. And the weirdest thing happened. This woman came walking up the one day to the gate and she was like, "Are you the groom here?" And I was like, "Yeah." She said, "I always used to hear you sing in the mornings. Why aren't you singing anymore?" I was like, "Well, I have no voice." And it woke me up. I thought to myself, you know, people noticed. Obviously, there must have been something that they were listening to. And that's why I decided to give it a try.
From England, it was back to Cape Town, then to Dallas and a scholarship at Southern Methodist University, then to Juilliard in New York, and then admission to the Washington National Opera Domingo Cafret's Young Artist Program. It is a demanding 2-year program. Maria is one of 9 singers. They all take instruction in voice, acting, a foreign language. There's time for auditions and for singing jobs, and she'll need them. The program stipend affords her the life of a graduate student, not a diva.
Well, I support myself. I wouldn't call it a living.
I mean, you pay your own rent and your...
I pay my own rent and I buy my own groceries, but that's about as far as it goes right now. I just got an agent, and we are looking at starting to book my schedule for after I finish at this program.
For the first year of the program, there are to be fees for 2 roles she's assigned in the Washington National Opera's 2003-2004 season. In the spring, she is to sing the nurse in Verdi's La Traviata, and before the Verdi, there's Wagner.
I'm covering Helmwige, which is one of the Walküres in Die Walküre.
Explain what it means to cover.
It just means that the person who's performing it, I'm backing up the person who's performing it. So if she's ill, if she's not feeling up to doing a certain rehearsal, then I would do the rehearsal. If she couldn't sing a performance, I would do the performance. And if everything goes well, we never get seen or heard. But it's a necessary evil.
And then?
Oh, I'm singing Anina in Traviata, which is a lovely little role. And quite tricky, and I'm really looking forward to it. Actually, it'll be my first main stage actual performance here at Washington, and I have 10 performances, so you know, it's kind of fun. I get to do them.
So she'll have to learn those 2 parts in addition to her other work. There are also classes in yoga and nutrition. And as we pack up from that first meeting last August, Maria confided her hopes to gain control of her weight along with her voice and her acting. She told us, "I'm having Slim Fast twice a day. I'm tired of being as big as I am. It's time to get rid of it." It is to be a year of ambition, of self-improvement, and a lot of work.
Okay, so let's do from the Loves one more time.
In October, the same rehearsal room is now outfitted with scaffolding that mimics the set to be used on stage at the Kennedy Center Opera House. The Valkyrie are put through their paces in street clothes, waving their spears or running upstairs at precisely the right moments in the score. Maria is just an understudy for the part of Helmwige, which is to be sung by Caroline Thomas, so she doesn't sing or run up and down the scaffolding. She watches and takes notes on her copy of the score, just in case she might be called upon to sing it.
And I just said, "Greet Rosweiss and Grimgadda on rock, gesture with spear." And then I have these marks where the gestures are supposed to happen. And then there's another one that says, "Big gesture." And then cross downstage right, which is just a direction. Nothing really interesting.
You would only actually perform in this if something bad happens.
Right.
To somebody else.
Which would be sad.
On the other hand, it would be...
It would be great for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd love to sing this. I'd love to go up there and do this. But I really like Caroline, and I really don't want anything bad to happen to her. So that's how it goes.
On the evening of November 11th, the old theatrical bit of well-wishing, break a leg, nearly comes true. It is in Act 2, Scene 1. Soprano Linda Watson is singing the role of Brunhilde. Maria, an understudy, is seated in row C, watching first with interest and then with alarm.
It was her second entrance in the second act, and she was running up the ramp, and she does hi-ha-has, and she's like, hi-ha, hi-ha. And at the end of her last hi-ha, she went hi-ha. And there was like a little, like, there was like, it was almost like a yelp. You know, like when you hurt yourself and you get a fright? Like, it was inaudible, like, but I know, I've seen it so many times, and I'm sure that's exactly when it happened.
Linda Watson had torn a ligament in her leg, and with diminished mobility, she managed to sing through to the end of the act.
As soon as she exited the stage, I jumped up and ran, because I knew that something was going on. So I left the auditorium, and I went backstage, and by the time I got there, she had just limped off the stage, and... Yeah, she was a bit worse for wear.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the company's general director, Placido Domingo, who sang the role of Siegmund that night, came on stage to announce that, for the rest of the opera, Brunhilde would be sung by Ms. Watson's understudy, Caroline Thomas, who had been singing Helmwige. And appearing in the role of Helmwige would be her understudy.
Maria Justa is going to be singing...
I don't remember. I was standing right behind the scrim, and I didn't hear anything. I was in shock. I mean, I wasn't hearing anything. I was just like, okay, just point me in the right direction when I have to go on stage. Oh, it wasn't that bad. I did hear him say my name.
The direction Maria was pointed in was unusual. For lack of a costume, she sang in street clothes from the side of the stage, away from the action.
I had no makeup on. I had my spectacles on. And, you know, I was like... What? Okay, I'll sing. And, you know, I think I did a good job. I made one or two errors. It's so hard to stand on the side and not be part of the action.
An NPR recording engineer, who was coincidentally recording that performance for broadcast, said, I had 18 microphones on the stage, and not one of them anywhere near where she was. So we can barely hear her in this recording, but she did sing the entire part in costume 3 days later. The Washington Post's critic wrote of the Valkyrie who came in off the bench, she fit into that rambunctious sisterhood as though she had been born into it. And he noted, she will be back in the season for a small role in La Traviata. It was an unusual Washington debut, and the morning after that first surprise appearance, Maria said the experience had taught her a lesson.
The biggest thing that I was thinking last night when I was going home was that the lesson to take from this is that you can never, ever say that you're not going to go on stage. Myself and one of and the another one of the covers were having a chat yesterday during, like, just before the first act and going, oh, they're so fine and we'll never go on. You know, so... I think the big lesson is don't ever think you're not going to go on. Be really well prepared at all times and warm up.
Yes, you should.
What does that mean?
The breakthrough in Valkyrie was unexpected. But the winter in Washington was hard on Maria. She got sick, but soldiered on to New York for an audition, for which she rehearsed with her voice coach, Ken Weiss.
The high notes were really impressive, but you're killing your momentum.
Okay.
You are.
The
high notes, you're going
to
get la tempesta, which is a higher note anyway. A despeito del mondo. You want a little time just to make sure that you don't, that you, the top note really rings.
Okay.
One more time, sapere in loro serba.
Sure.
Let's do basically a tempo.
Then, in the spring, she learns a corollary to the lesson, you can never be sure that you're not going on. This time it's, you can never be sure that you are going on. The minor role that she was supposed to sing in La Traviata, well, the director of that production decides Maria is not right for the part. She can cover the role, but not sing it.
Because I think they want somebody who's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to do with the concept of the director and the director wanting someone who looks differently from me. And that's fine. I think at the end of the day, I respect that people have concepts that may not include me.
But it's a serious issue. The slim fast, the yoga, the nutritionist are not doing the trick.
I am considering weighty issues concerning my weight at the moment.
Weighty
issues?
Pardon
the pun. Yeah, I am considering having operation to do gastric bypass or whatever they call it. I've struggled for almost as long as I can remember with my weight, and I'm not winning.
This happened at the same time that one of the foremost sopranos in the world, Deborah Voigt, was dropped from a London production of Ariadne, a role she's famous for, because she too is extremely overweight. Maria's loss of the role of Anina in Traviata is not the stuff of front-page news. Unlike Deborah Voigt, she is not world-renowned, and the part she loses is a very small one. But being dropped from Traviata has a lasting impact on Maria Justa. Still, Traviata or no Traviata, there are more auditions.
I can offer you Borgia Amor, A Fuggil Traditor, and Divinità di Stix.
In April, it's for the Opera Company of Philadelphia.
The
music director, Maestro Corrado Rovares, is impressed with what he hears. He hears a voice that is important, with intelligence, range, and maturity. This is all encouraging, but the Philadelphia Opera is thinking about roles for several seasons from now. By early June, Maria's first year of two as a young artist with the National Opera was over. We talked about what it meant. She said she learned lessons about real life in an opera company, positive lessons, even if the experiences were not always positive. In the end, she did not even cover the nurse's role in Traviata. The director, who had not wanted her to sing and marked her down to understudy, then took her down another notch.
Finally, she kind of fired me from the whole... Well, she didn't fire me, they bought me out of my contract from the whole show, because she said that if I don't look the part, then I shouldn't cover it either. And that was not hard for me to deal with, because you learn how to take the knocks and deal with them in the best possible way.
At some level, it must be infuriating and upsetting, I would assume.
No, I was never angry. Upsetting, yes, because it made me think about myself and where it is that I want to go with my life and mm-hmm. my body and all of those things. But I really had dealt with it emotionally like 2 weeks before when the whole Debbie Voigt thing came out, because I had to think about it for myself, because I've seen Miss Voigt and I look at myself and I think, oh, well, there isn't really that much difference in size. She's shorter than I am, but I think we're kind of the same size. And I thought to myself, oh, well, if it can happen to her, of course it's going to happen to me. And I've been told by other people as well that it would be easier for me to get work if I were thinner. So it was definitely something that I dealt with. I wasn't angry. So no, I wasn't upset about
it. So the life lesson learned is?
The life lesson learned is be comfortable with who you are and be prepared to stand up for who you are. I mean, if you are a certain way, these days that's a choice. Mm-hmm. And if you want to stay that way, stay that way. If you don't, change it. That's it, I guess.
So are you going to be that way and stay that way, or are you going to change it?
I'm going to change it. Since we last spoke, I've found a surgeon, and I have a surgery date in November.
Maria Ustub says she's learned something about her body in her first year with the Washington Opera, and she's also learned a lot about her voice.
I just feel generally more comfortable with my voice these days, because this year I've had the opportunity to sing so often and practice and work technically every day. I feel as though I know my voice better now, and I know what to expect. If I wake up in the morning feeling a certain way, I know what I need to do to get to performance readiness, which is not necessarily something that I knew a year ago, because I didn't have the practice of doing it every day.
Next month, Maria Ustub starts year two of the Domingo Kaifritz Young Artist Program at the Washington National Opera. You can see her and hear more of Maria Ustub at our website, npr.org. Our story was mixed by Bill Deputy. I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.